Welcome, friends, to another short message from God's precious word. We're glad to have your company. How blessed we are at a time like this to have our Bibles. How thankful we should be for our gospel freedoms. You know, I was just thinking about a young man, William Hunter, who gave his life for Christ on this day, March the 26th, 1555. William was only 19 years of age when he was burned at the stake. And what was his crime? Reading his Bible. So I trust that in these days, as we go through the valley, that we will remember those who in a past generation suffered for their faith. So often, friends, we think that no one has had it worse than we have. And in a situation like we find ourselves in today, so often we get down and we get discouraged and we get depressed. But it's good to remember those in a past day and in a past generation who suffered far more than we have ever suffered. And I trust that as we think back to our church history, that we will thank God for his word and that we will cherish it and treasure it. Now, I want us to go back to our text. It's found in Isaiah chapter 41, and it's verse 10. And this is the verse that we have been thinking about all week. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, friends, we could describe this verse as a golden staircase, lifting us up above the doubts and fears that so often gather around us as we walk along the narrow way. Well, today we come to the fourth phrase, the lovely reassuring words, "For I am thy God." And may the Holy Spirit help us as we linger around these few words for a short time. God himself is the speaker here, and he addresses these words to his chosen people, the Jews. They were in captivity in Babylon, but the Lord was about to restore them to their own land. I suppose it's fair to say that we all feel like captives in our own homes at the present time. But it's all for a good cause, of course, as we seek to flatten the curve of the coronavirus. So I just pray God will give you all grace and strength just to bear with and to cope with present circumstances. But folks, make sure that you do get some exercise each day and fresh air, even if it's only a walk around the house or out into your back garden. But whatever, just don't neglect the exercise and the fresh air, because we have bodies as well as souls, and the Lord wants us to look after them. But back to our text. Listen to these lovely words again, coming from the lips of our wonderful God. I am thy God. If you're saved today, the Lord says that he is your God. He belongs to you. He is on your side. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. I am thy God. Isn't it lovely that he doesn't say, I was thy God? No, it's I am thy God. He's the God for the present situation. We think, of course, of Luther's great psalm, Psalm 46, and that lovely first verse, God is our refuge and strength. Don't you just love the little word is? God is our refuge and strength. It would be sad if it said God was our refuge and strength. But I want you, brother or sister in Christ, to remember that God is your refuge and strength. He hasn't stopped being your refuge and strength just because there's a virus around. No, friends, things haven't changed just because of this virus. The Lord is still our refuge and our strength, and he will always be. Those two words, I am, of course, refer to the great name Jehovah. Jehovah is the one true God, the eternal self-existing God. back in Exodus chapter 3, whenever God was about to deliver his people from Egypt, he said to Moses, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt to deliver the people, and you, when they ask you who sent you, you're to say, I am, has sent me. That was the great name of Jehovah that Moses was to communicate with the people. But, you know, friends, right up until the Savior came into the world, that name was like a glorious fragment, we could say. I am who? I am what? It was almost as if it was unfinished. But then Jesus came and he finished it and he completed it. And we find in John's Gospel seven wonderful statements. Let me just leave a few with you today. The first one I point you to is in John chapter 6, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You know, isn't it a fact these days that because of panic buying and because of the situation that our nation finds itself in, people are worried and they think that there won't be much food around, and therefore they panic buy, and as a result, there's not much bread around today. There's times you go into the supermarket, and I know that we don't go in as often as we used to, and that's right and proper. But sometimes we go in these days and we find it difficult even to get a loaf of bread on the shelf. Well, maybe you've been there and you've seen the empty shelf, and I've seen it too. And bread isn't as plentiful these days. But I want to tell you folks that the bread of life is always plentiful. Jesus, the bread of life, is always available. And the best thing about the bread of life is that it's free. Totally free. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus invites you to come. If you're not a believer, this is for you. Jesus says to you, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Come to Jesus today. Find satisfaction in him. Find fulfillment in him. For he is the bread of life. So I hope you're making the connection between Isaiah 41 and John chapter 6. And then in another portion, John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What the sun is to the earth, Jesus Christ is to the human soul. And dear friend, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, I urge you to ask him to switch on the light in your life and to scatter the darkness of your sin. And if you ask him, he will do it. For he is the light of the world. Now, in John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. I am the door. Genesis chapter 19, we have the story there of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a very sad story. It's the story, of course, of God pouring out his judgment upon sinful cities. But there's a very interesting phrase in one of the verses in Genesis 19. Verse 11. Genesis 19, verse 11. It tells us there that the men of Sodom, now listen to this, wearied themselves to find the door. They wearied themselves to find the door. I wonder, dear friend, are you wearying to find the door? I wonder, are you weary trying to find the door to eternal life? I want to tell you today that you do not need to despair. Don't give up hope. For I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is the door. He's the door you've been looking for. And you can enter in through this wonderful door today into eternal life, into God's salvation. You can be saved today. You can be redeemed today through the precious blood of Christ. So don't weary yourself anymore to find the door. For Jesus is the door. Now let me share one other wonderful I am statement of Christ. It's found in John chapter 11, verse 25. I'm sure we've all heard it. I am the resurrection and the life. The reality is, folks, that we will all die someday. There's just no point trying to avoid it, for it's inevitable. And Scripture reminds us that it is appointed unto men once to die. Did you know that God has appointed the day of your death? And you cannot go before that day. You cannot go after it. You will go on the day that God above has appointed it. You will go the very day that our sovereign Creator has appointed for you to go. And it's the same for me. And you know, friends, whether it's a virus or a car accident or a heart attack or just old age, as they say, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. For the Christian, of course, all will be well. If you're saved, you need not fear death whenever and however it comes. You see, when the trumpet sounds, we who have died, we believers who have passed away, we will receive a brand new body, like unto the Saviour's glorious body. We will be raised from our graves. And when we inhabit those new bodies, we won't have to worry any more about cancer or Alzheimer's or even a virus. You see, we will be forever with the Lord, and we will be in that place, that heavenly home, where there is no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more crying, no more dying. You won't find any hospitals in that glorious place, because hospitals aren't needed. You won't find any doctors in that place, for doctors aren't needed. God bless the doctors in these days as they battle on the front line. Let's intensify our prayers for them. God bless the nurses that are sacrificing so much. May God bless all the healthcare workers today who are on the front line while we rest at home and shelter in our own homes. The nurses, healthcare workers are on the front line facing COVID-19. God bless them all and protect them all. But isn't it wonderful to think of heaven, folks, that we will not need nurses, doctors, hospitals, surgeries. We'll not need vaccines. We'll not need antibiotics. We'll not need medicines of any description. There'll be no graves in heaven. What a blessed place it is. And you know, the best thing about heaven is that the risen Christ is there. Take Jesus out of heaven and it's heaven no longer. And if Jesus isn't in heaven, then I don't want to be there. But the good news is that he is there right now, and one day those of us who are washed in his blood will meet him face to face, and we'll tell the story, saved by grace. There's a lovely old Easter hymn, and I trust that we'll be able to sing it in God's house before too long. Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you for these lovely words again from Isaiah chapter 41. I am thy God. Thank you, Father, that you are our God. You are the one who is there for us every hour of every day. Thank you, Lord. The psalmist said, this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. I pray, Lord, that you will bless each and every listener today. I pray for those who are saved that you will encourage them. I pray that you will bless them in these days with your peace and with your grace. And Lord, we pray for any listening who are not yet saved, and they do not have a personal relationship with Christ. And oh God, they're not ready for heaven. We pray that today they will take that step. May they call out to the Saviour wherever they are. And we thank you that he himself has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh God, again we pray that you will have mercy upon our nation. And even in great mercy, deliver it, Lord, from the present crisis. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.